Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
The following is a presentation of the Belly Up Sports Media Network.
This is Haymaker Combat Sports. Here we here, coming straight from the source. Only with the real, they ain't here to dress it up. Sweet science, MMA, you can get it all from us. Trust, five stars, cause it's live. And through the fight game, we can guide ya. Slick talking, putting them in caution. Passing all the guards, cause the audio is awesome. What you waiting for? Spread the word, tell a friend. This the podcast where all of the discussion ends. When they start going strike for strike, this the show that'll tell you what you've seen in the fight. They ain't playing on the mic, this a welcome to the show. Warm it up for the squad, Haymaker of the bros. I'm a bow wow, you can hear from the pros. It's Haymaker Combat Sports on the road.
Welcome back to Haymaker Combat Sports, powered by the Belly Up Sports Media Network. I'm your host, EJ Reed, joined by my fellow hosts, Aaron Ammeyer, Steve Johnson. How's it going, fellas?
It's storming. I don't know what your guys' weather's like over there, but we got a tornado watch. The sky is green. The wind is blowing. The thunder is rumbling.
From what I saw earlier, this was much earlier, like six or so, it was bright and sunny here. I don't know if that changed, Steve. I hadn't had a chance to peek out there.
Not at all. It's a pretty nice day today.
Yeah, we had a real nice day today. I mean, it was 81 degrees, sun was shining, and then about an hour ago, this whole mess blew in. So if I take off running, it's because the tornado sirens are going off.
Well, let's hope that we don't have a tornado emergency in the middle of our recording. That'd be a sad thing to see, Admire scrambling to try to avoid a tornado. That's crazy, man. We're only like 2 hours away from you, and how drastic of a weather change it is if you just go a little bit more west out there.
Yeah, it usually the storms blow across Kansas, and once they get to this Missouri border, they kind of move northeast. So you guys don't get a lot of stuff over there because you're directly east. This stuff, it moves north as it goes through here.
That's crazy. So do you have like a cellar or something you can get in if a tornado passes through?
I got a basement. That's what my girlfriend said. She said, just go in the basement if it storms like that. Well, in my basement, I have giant sliding glass doors. Like, if things are flying around, that's a kind of a hazard. So I guess my best option is go in my garage that's downstairs.
Yeah. I guess, well, since it's like below sea level, or I mean underground or whatever.
Yeah.
So if something were to happen, just the top of your place would get messed up, but you'd be safe down there.
Hopefully. Hopefully this old structure holds up if something happens.
That would suck, though. This, like, what would you do, like, if you just go upstairs and it's the whole thing, you're like, the whole top of the house is just taken off. You're like, oh, well.
I mean, I rent my house for my parents, and they got entrance on it, and I have renter's entrance, so everything's covered. It's just a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it'd be more so a pain in the ass. Like, you gotta go somewhere else while your place is getting repaired. That's like months.
Yeah, and I got a new car last week.
Oh,
so, yeah. So my new car, I got a Jeep Grand Cherokee. It's in the garage. My old Jeep Wrangler sitting in the driveway. I took the entrance off of it to put on the new car. So it's sitting out there with no entrance. I'm like, great. Like, it's going to get smashed.
So you're a Jeep guy, huh?
It just turns out that way. I mean, I got Grand Cherokee, Wrangler. Before the Wrangler, I had a Cherokee. My girlfriend's got a Cherokee. Yeah, we rock Jeeps around here.
Yeah, one of my friends, his family were Jeep people. It had like a Cherokee. What's that? It was like a, One almost looked like an SUV, like a modern SUV. I can't remember the name off it off the top of my head.
The new badass one is the Jeep Grand Wagoneer.
Okay, I don't think I've seen that one.
It's like Jeep's version of an Escalade. It's like $90,000.
Jeez. If I pay something for that, it may have like a bed and breakfast inside of it.
It's nice. Crazy. They're nice as shit.
That's crazy. So what are you going to do with your old one?
It's on the marketplace for sale. If anybody listening wants to buy a Jeep Wrangler, 17 grand, and it's decked out.
I remember the Wrangler, it was giving you fits at one point.
Yeah. I put a lot of work into it, you know, just changing out all the little stuff that was going wrong, brake lines, seals, and stuff like that. But it's all straightened out. I've been driving it every day for a few months and no issues. So it's all good, but got a sweet deal on this Grand Cherokee I could pass up.
What's up? Unless you're a car person, cars are one of those things that, like, you don't pay any mind if it's everything's going well with it, but when it's messing up or giving fits, it's like, it just messes up your whole day or week or month sometimes.
Nothing pisses me off more than a check engine light.
Oh, yeah. Those are the worst. But maybe we could do another podcast on just car problems. That'd be fun. That sell tickets. But let's talk about some fighting, fellas. So I looked down at my phone. I'm like, it's almost May. I'm like, I know it's the Canelo fight this weekend. And I took a look at the calendar. I'm like, oh, shit, it's a UFC pay-per-view this weekend. I guess we got to do a show on this. And that's when I hit up Admire and I hit Steve up too. Like, this kind of snuck up on it, didn't it?
Yeah, I think all the hype was behind the UFC 300, and that's what I was thinking about. And then this one just come out of nowhere. Like, when you messaged me, I was like, what are we having a podcast about? Like, yeah, UFC 301 is here.
That's crazy. Like, I was just at your place Thursday, Steve, and we were talking about this weekend's fight, but I don't even think you mentioned 301.
Yeah, totally went over my head.
Yeah. Man, when was UFC 300? It was in April, 2 weeks right?
Ago? Yeah, was it April 9th or something?
So they skipped the weekend, and then they had a fight night this past weekend. So
still three.
I guess it's been like 3 weeks, but it doesn't seem like that.
April 13th. It was April 13th, so like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, this past weekend would have been 2 weeks, but then it'll be 3 weeks in between. But for some reason, it seems sooner than that. It doesn't seem like 3 weeks have been in between, but hey, that's life. It moves fast. But before we get into the card, let's go around and talk about some new stories inside or outside of the cage. And Admire, McGregor popped up in our news feed again. What's the scoop on that?
Yeah, so the big Bare Knuckle Mania 4 was this weekend, and Conor McGregor was there, and he is now part owner of Bare Knuckle Fighting. I think that kind of helps prove what we've kind of talked about, that it's going to be big. Like, it's a growing sport. Like, a lot of people are tuning in, and to catch somebody like McGregor wanting to invest in it, you know, it's a solid thing. Everything he's invested in, you know, has been a success. So he's part of that. I don't know. Maybe one day we'll see Bare Knuckle move over to like the UFC network, or maybe get more mainstream. I personally still think it's too violent for the mainstream ESPN right now. But I think, you know, kind of like Masvidal's little fighting circuit, they show it on UFC Fight Pass. I think you would probably see Bare Knuckle on Fight Pass one of these days.
I can see that happening. Go ahead, Steve.
It's great. Say Bare Knuckle. I think I saw the event in between 300 to where Luke Rockhold fought against somebody in Bare Knuckle MMA, you know, where they have that. I think they had the dome with Anthony Pettis, and he fought somebody. And I don't know if they're going to incorporate that into buying that out. Because it's nowhere. I don't think it's near as, popular as MMA. I mean, bare knuckle boxing, but we do get to see aspect of bare knuckle MMA in that league, and I can't remember what it's called.
So I just pulled it up. It looks like it's called Karate Combat.
Yeah.
And Luke Rockhold, he beat Joe Schilling. Joe Schilling used to be like a badass kickboxer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember you were telling me about watching that live when you went up to that live, Steve.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy. Some of these events go under the radar. Maybe they'll get more publicity to get more, promotion.
Well, yeah, that Karate Combat event that you're talking about, it was in Abu Dhabi, I think. I mean, that's kind of a big deal going over there fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is.
And got the knockout, Luke Rockhold, so that's what's up.
He better stay on that side of the fence because he hasn't been faring too well in MMA, so maybe karate is his new thing.
Yeah. And just because we mentioned bare knuckle, I got to say, glad to Mike Perry does it again, man. That dude is the king of bare knuckle. I mean, he found the right sport for him just to stand and trade. He beat former UFC welterweight. I think he challenged for a title at the welterweight, Thiago Alves.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was a really good fighter back in the day. Big welterweight. But, you know, Mike Perry took him out this weekend. Some other UFC fighters from the past was on there. You had Ben Rothwell on there. He was a heavyweight. He beat Todd Duffy. If you remember who Todd Duffy is, I think he got smoked in like 7 seconds one time when he fought. But he was a big, just ripped heavyweight for the UFC. He even made the cover of like one of those weightlifting magazines. He was just a ripped ass dude. So bare knuckle, I mean, they put on another good event. You know, Mike Perry shines.
I didn't know he was fighting. I would have checked it out because sometimes it's a hit or miss for the BKC as far as name value. And if it's a few names that I recognize, I'll definitely watch it. But
I don't know who's in control of their marketing, but it can't be that great because it seems like we always end up talking about them after the fact. Yeah. Or one of us is just like looking for something to watch on a Saturday night and it's like, oh, hey, bare knuckles on. Like, you never, I don't think I've ever planned out to watch a bare knuckle. I've just stumbled on it. Like, they need to do some more advertising.
And maybe that's where McGregor steps in and is almost like I won't say poster child, but like a spokesman for it and get it and has it out there. You know, he has a good social media presence and marketing team. So maybe now that they have him on deck, that they'll be able to promote a little bit better, because I think what's hurting them right now, they don't really have a network. I think all of the events they put on are pay-per-views, you know, which, you know, if people are living check to check, they're not going to be buying their pay-per-views every month. And I don't know, I could say the same thing for UFC because they have pay-per-views every month, but you do have those fight nights in between where you could draw in the people that don't feel like paying UFC. But I don't think BKC has anything like that yet. But did they give details on his ownership or from the thing that you saw, Admire?
Well, let's take a look.
Because that's definitely intriguing. I mean, you know, McGregor, he's got the money, so you would think that he would invest in some type of sports league or maybe even like a soccer team over there in Ireland, because, you know, he's got the pockets to do it. So I think this probably is his first foray in something like this, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it doesn't give really details, but it does end the article with the partnership will expand the reach of bare knuckle fighting with McGregor's ability to promote and will likely help them become a destination for fighters. So, I mean, yeah, it's they're, you know, using him as a marketing tool, which, you know, I'm not mad at it.
I mean, I've watched one of those cards and he came out, but not in an official capacity. So maybe him actually promoting it will take it to another level. I mean, it'd take it to even higher level if he was actually fighting in there, but we know he's signed to the UFC. It's definitely not a bad move. You going to say something, Steve?
No, I was listening, but I think it's a good move, and I don't know if it's because of Hollywood culture or I don't know if in the European culture it's bare knuckle fighting is popular over there, and maybe that was a good move for him to have European eyes on this market also.
Yeah, for sure. I agree with that. I think even Michael Bisping started his fighting career bare knuckle over in England. I know it's real popular around England, Britain, Ireland, things like that. So that is another aspect of it.
True. And going back to something you said earlier, Admire, is it that more violent than MMA, or is just the visuals make it look more violent just because there's no padding and it's easier to bruise up? Because I feel like MMA, you have a chance to get your bones broken from getting put in a Kimura.
Yeah. But to the public at large, I think watching bare knuckle seems more violent because all it is hitting in the head. You're punching bare knuckle. Every fight, almost every single fight, there's blood. Luke Rockhold, we just talked about him. I think in his bare knuckle fight, he lost a tooth or something. It's to the average person, it's going to be pretty violent. They don't understand the, ripping limbs off and, how many broken legs we've seen in the UFC and stuff like that. But eventually it'll get there, but I don't think the world at large is ready for bare knuckle to go on ESPN at prime time.
So will they get to a point where they ever get ready? We could just keep saying that forever.
I think so. I mean, it's not going to happen overnight, but I think that even with McGregor doing this, I think you're going to see a lot of people leaving MMA to go do this. Because if you look at the UFC, some of the Bellator guys, their bread and butter is standing up fighting. Could you imagine Alex Pereira, if he loses, if Alex Pereira gets taken down and submitted a couple times, he could say, I'm going to go to bare knuckle where I can just stand up and do my specialty, And there's a lot of fighters like that, that stand up is their bread and butter, where they can just go in there and trade. Look at a Nick Diaz or a Nate Diaz. They don't want to get on the ground and fight, even though they're good at it and they're, good at jiu-jitsu. They'd rather just stand and trade, and there's a lot of people like that. So I would expect to see a lot more people making the move over to bare knuckle.
But if you're a Pereira, wouldn't you just go to regular boxing instead of going to bare knuckle? Just like you said, it's probably more better on the hands, at least. Like I said, visually it looks bad, but boxing would get him more eyes than going to bare knuckle and more money. A guy like a Pereira,
I don't know, because using Mike Perry as the example, would Mike Perry do good in boxing? Probably not. But he just goes in there and slugs in bare knuckle and does good at it. There's going to be a big shift sometime of MMA people that make an exit from MMA and they're going to branch off to bare knuckle or boxing.
Yeah.
We've already started to see some of that with, Ngannou and a lot of the other UFC fighters that went to boxing. Even Anderson Silva had a boxing match last year.
I'll be quite honest. It's I don't watch bare knuckle fighting. I know some stars that didn't transition from MMA to that, but I can definitely see MMA fighters transitioning very well to bare knuckling, because to me, I feel like most of the viewers already, like you said, at a night that people aren't nothing to watch on Saturdays, turn on bare knuckle to see a UFC fighter, which is only the reason a lot of times I watch a bare knuckle fight. And so I agree with transition if they get popular enough fighters, which, like we talked about, Conor McGregor is now incorporated with that. We're going to start seeing a transition, especially say weighs out for those B level or C level fighters. And hey, I might as well go bare knuckle. I'm getting paid as a low level fighter. you know, not even ranked UFC fighter.
Right. And I just pulled up the payouts for this last weekend. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's not horrible. Mike Perry made $600,000 for one round.
Wow. I mean, the smaller the roster, the more you could pay out. So that probably plays a factor in there, but that is a nice payday. You saying he got paid $600,000.
Thiago Alves, I mean, you haven't heard his name in how many years? And he made $200,000.
Yeah, that's more than the UFC are paying a lot of their fighters. So I think wherever the money is where the fighters will go. So until BKFC could catch up as far as like where the name value at is at where some of these UFC fighters and they could pay him as much as boxing can, then I think, like you said, MI, they would go there, but the money has to be there. Yeah. Because right now, I think Pereira, 300 put him probably on a different level as far as name value. Maybe not that much, but definitely got more eyes on him since
He cashed like $2 million for UFC 300.
I guess, is that including pay-per-view points, I guess?
I don't know if that's points involved because it was the payouts that they released that night, and I think he was at $2.2 million. So that's probably not pay-per-views included. So
that's bigger than what I've seen anybody get paid out recently. Maybe that's because it was 300. Even McGregor, I don't think he's gotten paid that much. The show, if I might be mistaken, I'm thinking, I know like after like pay-per-view points have been calculated, I think he banked somewhere in the tens as far as getting paid from the UFC. Yeah, that's like one of the bigger payouts I've heard, actually. I don't even know if Jones has made that much.
Well, Conor McGregor, he made $5 million for each Diaz fight, $4 million for Jose Aldo, $3 million for Chad Mendez. So,
wow, those are, but those are, is that after pay-per-view points, though?
Doesn't say.
That's the biggest thing. If that's after pay-per-view points, then, yeah. But if that's before, then, yes, pretty big. If that's before the pay-per-view point. But I think you might be right. I think that might be before the pay-per-view point, because I want to say he got paid in the tens for after the pay-per-view points for Habib.
Yeah, something like that.
I mean, I'm all about the fighters getting paid. They're the ones going in there, risking their health and their life.
Getting CTE.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I'm curious to see how this BKFC move works out in the long run, bringing in McGregor to promote. So we'll definitely keep our eyes on that. But moving on to this next story, I don't know if y'all saw this. Amateur MMA fighter sues Nate Diaz over that altercation. And I'm pretty sure we talked about that on here. It was like a year ago.
Yeah, is that the guy that he got in a fight with outside the club or something?
In New Orleans. Yeah.
Yeah.
So during that scuffle, Diaz was arrested and charged for second-degree battery, and this happened in April of 2023. So that's like literally right when we started the show. So we may have not caught that story, and that's when he choked the guy out. And that's been a year. You would think that a lawsuit would have been in motion way before that, but they're saying the guy is now finally pursuing a civil suit for both physical and emotional damages. And this guy is an amateur MMA fighter. So is this like a pansy move on his part? If you're an amateur fighter, you're going to sue somebody and that's your profession? I'll start with you, Amir.
I think it's a money grab. Because if I remember this one correctly, the guy was taunting him and messing with him pretty bad. I think the reason that it wasn't really blown up when it happened was because I think everybody kind of agreed it was self-defense. I think the guy was instigating it, trying to get him to do something. And you know, with Nate Diaz, if you're doing something like that, he's going to do something. Like, he's not one of the fighters that holds back. Like, he's really street. He's about that life. You keep, you know, poking him, he's going to do something. But as far as the guy being an amateur MMA guy, he knew what he was doing. He just trying to money grab.
So before I get to your thoughts on it, Steve, It also said the guy claims he suffered severe injuries to his head, neck, and brain. I mean, how can you even assess if you have injury to your brain?
Well, yeah, exactly. And if you're an admitted amateur MMA fighter, you have damage from before. Like, you can't place the damage on one specific incident. So he's not going to get anything. Like, he's probably looking for a settlement, and it probably won't even happen.
And also add to that, he's trying to seek damages due to suffering, mental anguish, and loss of enjoyment of life, psychological distress, medical expenses, loss of income, and earning capacity. Sounds like a bunch of legal jargon to me. I don't know, Admire is. You might be right. It might be a money grab.
Yep.
So he's saying that he lost income and earning capacity. If you're an amateur fighter, you're not making money. So I guess he's saying his day job. I'm sure he has a day job.
Yeah, he probably missed work that Monday after getting his ass kicked that weekend. But the guy probably didn't even want to do this. Some lawyer probably found him and said, hey, we're going to sue him and try to get you this money. You got to say this, this, and this. Like, that's probably why it took so long. It's stupid.
Ambulance chaser?
Yes.
Steve, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I was about to say I would have to see the details in the context, but after that description, man, to be an amateur fighter, to have that boohoo alibi, man, I mean, I can't take him seriously.
Yeah.
Well, what about it? Can't you take seriously, Steve?
He's a fighter. And that stuff. You know, I lost, what do you say? I almost said the lack of life, the lack of happiness or whatever he said. That's crazy. I never heard that. Yeah.
Of course. He said the loss of enjoyment of life. So
while he's I'm gonna sue my job because I have a loss of enjoyment in life.
I was about to say we all got a court case, then we all got ups and downs as a human. Loss of enjoyment of life. You better figure it out then.
While he's at his like local Panera Bread, he has in flashbacks of Nate Diaz choking him out. Man, he can't even enjoy his bread bowl. Wow. He deserves millions of dollars. Pay this guy out. Yeah, but so y'all think this is a trend? Y'all think y'all see more people trying to antagonize fighters and egg them on to try to sue them? Or you just think this guy was an idiot?
I bet you every marquee fighter has had this happen. Like, I guarantee you John Jones has had people approach him in public and try to fight him. Like, Conor McGregor. Like, it's the society we live in. Everybody's going to try to do something to get a fighter to react so they can sue them. That's all it is. But that does lead into another story that I did have for the news. Do you remember in UFC 300, Sarukian's walkout, and there was kind of a scuffle with the athletic commission voted to withhold 20% of his pay to fine him for that. And I heard that the fan that it happened to was talking about suing him.
I mean, if you egging these fighters on, you don't have that much of a case once they actually take it to trial if it gets that far. So to the fans out there, don't be an idiot. And I remember seeing that story, and I remember his quote from that. He was like, you can't talk. He's like, you know, I forget what country he's from, so it's a little bit of a language barrier. He's like, you could say things like that to me when you're all the way up in the rafters, but if you're in my face, you can't say that to me. So it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the world we live in. Everybody's sue happy and wants to make the quick buck. That's why people talk shit to fighters. That's why people talk shit to pro wrestlers. You know, people even do it to, you know, football players and baseball players, just trying to get them to react and do something that they can sue for. So fuck them.
I think you're right, especially from our age and older, when in the 90s, America got too happy with the coffee, with the woman spilling the coffee at McDonald's, but she deserved that money. If you go back and look at that story, it's because, yeah.
But, the coffee was hotter than it was supposed to be. That's why she won.
Yeah, but I digress. But yeah, but I think for the generation, like your son Devin's age, I don't even think they were thinking about that. I think they just thinking about clout chasing and going viral. And
yeah, everybody's looking for that viral stealing. That viral clip. And too many of them are, you know, what I call the gaming generation, where they're used to talking crazy shit on a headset with no repercussions. Like, they get out in public and start talking crazy to people and act surprised when somebody tries to throw hands on them. Like, that's the real world. Like, you can't do that.
Yeah, so I think you're right. But I think it's a combination of people who are still happy and then the clout chasing generation for the younger kids. And everybody just mind your own business and you won't
leave people alone.
Yeah, leave people alone. But only one other story that came across my radar. I don't know if we talked about this because I remember we ran through all of those new fights that got announced last time that we did an MMA show. But did we talk about Jorge Masvidal, Admire? You got a slightly better memory than me.
What's going on with him? The only thing I know of is him and Diaz are boxing.
Nah, he plans on making his return to the UFC.
All right. I mean, he's an exciting fighter, except for when he's not. I mean, it's hit and miss with him. You never know what's going to happen. You know, he talks crazy shit and then he gets beat up a lot of the time. You know, he got a lot of clout off of the BMF fight with Diaz with the knockout of Askren. But other than that, can you really name a highlight Masvidal fight?
Besides the Askren fight?
Yeah, besides Askren or Diaz.
Maybe the Till.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, Darren Till.
But wasn't he losing most of that fight?
Hell if I know. That was 5 years ago. Over 5 years ago.
Yeah, I think Masvidal was losing most of that fight, and then he came back and knocked out Till. But, like, what other fights have Masvidal had recently? Didn't he go against Usman?
And got slept.
And didn't he go? Who else didn't he go against Edwards? Didn't they throw him in there against Edwards?
No, we still got to see that fight though. So that's what I'd be down for him to face Edwards, just because he gave him what, a 3-piece in the soda backstage, Steve, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I remember that.
So yeah, but not while Edwards is a champion. Hell no. I don't want to see Masvidal get a title shot. But
and then remember he fought Colby and Colby just owned him the whole fight.
Usman schooled him on the ground, and then the next fight he slept him. He fought Usman twice in a row for some reason. And what you said, Burns, that was his last fight before he left.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's always going to be a spot for a fighter like him because he throws hard. He knocks people out sometimes, but when he's on the losing end, usually he gets beat dominantly, whether it's on the ground or knocked out.
I mean, I'm all about star power in some instances because UFC is lacking star power on some of these cards, a card that we're going to talk about shortly. So, like, if he were co-headlining this card, he could do that easily. This card is coming up weekend. It'd have to be, I don't want to say a softball, but it couldn't be like a contender, but like a fun fight. I mean, I don't expect a lot out of Masvidal at this point.
Well, let's see. Let's look at the top 15 in the UFC and see if there's anybody that you think he should go against towards that back end.
That'd be way back end.
So you're 10 to 15. You got Jeff Neal. You got Buckley, Neil Magny, MVP. That's the fight I want. MVP and Masvidal. Luke A and Kevin Holland.
I wouldn't be mad at any of those fights, actually, especially the Neil. car wash, because everybody's got to face one of those nails when you're knocking on the door. Any of those fights will be fun. I mean, I don't. If I were a rank fighter, I don't know. I wouldn't say that. I was gonna say I wouldn't want to waste a fight losing just in case if you did lose to Masvidal. But I mean, you're gonna get that rub just from eyes being on it. So if you think it's an easy fight, then why not take it? But we hadn't seen him fight in lightweight in a while. What's the 10-15 in lightweight? He could still make that.
Lightweight, you got Bobby Green. That'd be a fun fight. RDA, Benoit St. Denis, Jalen Turner, Dan Hooker.
Throw him and Bobby Green. Like, I'm down for that.
Oh, yeah. I like it. Lightweight, I like him and Bobby Green. At welterweight, I like him and MVP.
I would want to see that fight, him and MVP. And that's definitely something that would sell a few more pay-per-views, but MVP doesn't have a lot of time on the clock. I want to see how high he can get as far as competition before you start throwing them in fun fights like that.
But you got to think, Masvidal retired after losing to Burns, and He came off fights with Covington and Usman. I mean, so he was ranked. Masvidal was ranked top five when he exited.
No, was he?
He would have to be to have those fights.
I mean, he was getting some of those fights based off a name, but you're probably right. He'd have to be at least top seven. But that was a year ago. Things have changed. So I get it. Like I said, I would be down to watch him in MVP, but I want to see one more fight where MVP gets a top 10 guy before you give him like a kind of a circus fight like that. Not even, it's not a complete circus fight, but
Masvidal's 39. He don't have a lot of time left either.
Yeah. I mean, what Masvidal, what the MVP side of things. I don't know where you, I never know where you're going to get with him. You know, he's kind of got the Anderson Silva syndrome, like where you might get like some exciting stuff, or you might get a fight where he's just dancing back and forth. So I don't know, but I don't know. What do you think, Steve?
Yeah, he's an iffy person. His record's not. I was looking at an Usman clip, him going into the second fight, and he pulled up his record, and it was a question why he was even getting a fight with Usman at the time. Like I said, it's about star, like you said, EJ, about star power, and I think he might use that privilege coming back.
Yeah, I mean, if UFC smart, and I don't even, they haven't really had a statement on their part or whether they are gonna bring him back, but I don't see why they wouldn't. Like, they've got some 40-year-olds on the roster, but if they're smart, they would just have them headline one of these pay-per-views that are lacking star power and just see what happens with it. But
you know what they could do?
What's that?
George Masvidal used to hold the BMF title, him and Max Holloway at lightweight.
From what we saw with Max Holloway and Justin Gaethje, you just want to see Masvidal have one match and go right up back out the other door, I guess.
Yeah, I think Max would probably take him, you know. But that, I mean, that's a great storyline that you have the first BMF title holder going against the current one. Plus, Max, who's, you know, a natural 145er, Masvidal, who spent most of his career at 170, meeting at, you know, a weight class that they're not really in. You got a lot of storyline there and a lot of ways to hype that up. And they're going to stand up. They're really not going to go for any takedowns. They're going to stand and trade. So it meets the BMF criteria, you know, that could be fun.
I know when his most popular days he was at 170, but Masvidal, I think he's a 155er for most of his fights before he blew up. But he's older, so he probably gained some natural weight. But he probably should be at 155. He probably just doesn't feel like cutting weight like that in his older, elder statesman. But yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing that. You know, you got a little gimmick going on with BMF title holders. I mean, technically, Usman should be a BMF title. He beat the guy who had the first one, but for some reason it wasn't on the line, but I digress.
But, well, if you follow that line, and then didn't Colby beat Usman?
Mm-mm. It's Edwards that beat Usman. Head kick.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
So technically it should be
Edwards. I was trying to follow the belt, so that technically means Edwards.
It's still a BMF. Had him his belt. But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be mad if he did, but I'm tired of fighters talking about it. If you're gonna do it, just announce your next fight instead of going in there and talking about hypotheticals. But fellas, let's finally talk about this card that's happening in this weekend. UFC 301 coming live from Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. And like we talked earlier in the podcast, not a lot of hype behind this card because they just had UFC 300 come a few weeks before this. And this looks like it's placating more towards the local fans, because if you look at the card, there is a lot of Brazilians on this card. So do y'all think that they're just trying to sell tickets to this one and they're not really worried about the pay-per-view buys? Because on first look, I don't know how much pay-per-views they're going to sell this one. So I guess, are they just trying to get hype from the local market and focus on that?
That's what I think, is just they're throwing a bunch of their local guys on it, hoping for a big turnout at the show, not really worried about the pay-per-view buys. You know, we're kind of conditioned to it. There's a fight, you know, a UFC event in the United States once a month at least. They go to Brazil often, but not as often. So they know they're going to sell that out and they're going to do good there. I don't think this is a card meant for, you know, casuals. This is the diehard fans. This really, to me, in my heart of hearts, this could be a fight night.
Steve?
I think it's all right. As far as, you know, having some cards that have been boo-boo in the past, these fights aren't as bad. Like I say, we'll go through the card, but like you said before, I think locally they might be bagging on that, because I think over there in Brazil, I think Jose Aldo is a star. And I think that's what definitely they may be bagging on. Plus, for what it is, you got a few people on there that I think people would look on, would be looking for, even for locally. You still got stars on there that we would recognize. And even casually and for a fan, I think we would enjoy this card.
So, going back to like the TKO side of things, I'm guessing that it's a lot of synergy going on with the WWE side of things and the UFC side of things. And I know both of y'all don't keep up with wrestling, but you have a lot of fans on the WWE side of things. When they do these overseas shows, they have like cards that only have like five matches on it, and you have a lot of online fans complaining that they're just mailing it in just because they know the overseas fans don't get it over there a lot, so they're just banking on like ticket sales. And looks like one's bleeding into the other, or the other's bleeding into the other. So do y'all think this is like a dangerous game to play, to just bank on throwing something out there just because, you know, fans will buy it regardless?
Yeah.
What do you think about that, Amway?
I think so. I think it is. I mean, it's give them something, you know, and just keep the money going, keep their interest in, and then maybe they'll be back, you know, later with a bigger card. I think that's all it is just to keep people interested.
What do you think, Steve?
And definitely feeding us good fighters here and there, but not intentions to stack every card with intentions. I don't know if that would be even possible if they could. Maybe you had to start forcing fighters to start fighting more often to get that done.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the solution, but maybe that'd be a start to get the ball rolling on that. But yeah, Amir, when do you think where fans would get to a point where you see the ticket sales decrease on because they know they're getting a bullshit card? Would that take years down the line for you to see like a trickle down effect in regards to that?
I think so. I think it would take years for that to happen because even, you know, you've been to a UFC event here in Kansas City and it's always a half-assed card. It's not anyone ever loaded. I think the biggest fighter we've ever had come through Kansas City was Max Holloway. But it sells out every time. It's because it's something, you know, a little something is better than nothing, especially if you live in a place that it only comes every so often. So, you know, just feed them peanuts and they'll keep coming.
And speaking of Missouri cars, there's going to be a fight in Missouri next week, UFC Fight Night, or actually it's a UFC on ESPN card. Derek Lewis versus Rodrigo Nascimento. I plan on probably checking it out. I know you're a little bit farther from St. Louis, Amir, but I was looking at tickets, and you were talking about the Kansas City card. I'm pretty sure the tickets are doubled on what I paid for that Kansas City card. I don't know if it just because during Kansas City, COVID was pretty much over, but still, like, you know, things were, people are slowly but surely starting to go out. And man, I don't know. Like, if I go back and look and the tickets don't go down from what I saw, I don't know. I might be on the fence because it was crazy. I think nosebleeds were somewhere in the mid 300s or something like that, which is absurd. I'm almost positive I didn't pay that much for Kansas City. And I got a lower level bowl seat for Kansas City. So, I mean,
Where are they having it at in Blues, St. Louis?
Where the Blues played, Enterprise.
Enterprise? That's not the same place that we went to the Royal Rumble, is it?
Nah, they had the Royal Rumble where the Rams used to play. That was the Dome.
Scott's Trade Center.
Yeah, that was the Dome where so that holds like 70,000. So, you know, tickets weren't going to be absurd there just because they got to fill that out. But this there in a smaller arena with what, probably like 18,000. So, I don't know, man. If those tickets don't come down a little bit, because I know it's probably all, you know, second buyer market that I was looking at, but still.
Cheapest tickets available through Ticketmaster right now are $125. Okay. Section 313. That's about where I sat when I went and watched the Blues play. It is pretty high up there. It's about the highest it goes.
Yeah, so I don't want to catch a nosebleed up there. So we shall see. I guess that's a week out, man. That's sneaking up on me as well. So we shall wait and see. But let's actually get into this car, fellas. So, like we always do, let's start with the early prelim card. This is on ESPN2. We had a flyweight Alessandro Costa versus Kevin Borjas. And most of these are Brazilian fighters, so I will probably be botching a lot of these names, but I'm going to try. At lightweight, we have Ismael Bonfim versus Vink Pichel. At women's flyweight, we have Dion Barboza versus Ernesta Caracate. At lightweight, we have Marcio Ruffy versus Jamie Malarkey. And top that one off at early prelims, we have lightweight Joakim Silva versus Draca Close. Will y'all be tuning into these early prelims?
Probably not. I'm probably going to watch the whole thing on replay. I'm going to the races Saturday. But Draca Close, that one sticks out to me, though. Pretty exciting fighter. Has quite a few wins in the UFC. Been around for like 8 years or something like that. Last couple wins, I think, were like, I think he had a KO slam and a couple TKOs. So, exciting fighter to headline the early prelims.
What rate are you going to?
Up here, north of Kansas City, there's a place called Osborne. They got a racetrack where they do drag races, and they got a circle track where they do the dirt track. On Saturday, we're going to the drag races. My girlfriend's brother has a drag car.
That's what's up. Is he any good?
It's fast, from what they tell me. I haven't got to see it yet. It's my first time going to see him race, but they say it's fast.
Man, that'd be disappointing if you went there and he just got his ass whooped. And
right? Yeah, she told me plan on being there late because they race multiple times. The more they win, the more they keep racing, all that. So she said, you're going to be out late that night. So, all right.
Are they racing for fun, or are they like racing for pink slips? Like, that's
they race for money. They win money. Nice. It costs so much to get in and all that. So,
nice. That'd be fun. You might have more fun that and watching some of these prelim fights. So,
well, I'm probably gonna get on everyone's nerves because I'm gonna do nothing but drop Fast and Furious quotes.
You know, it's all about family.
Yep, and I'm just gonna be like, "Oh, is that guy running a spoon engine?" Like, is that Hector?
Funny shit. Steve, you planning on rushing these early prelims?
Probably so. I was interested in Jamie Mullarkey, but I forgot he lost as far as being a prospect. So, you know, I might catch that. And Drake R. Close, I remember him from the Benil Dariush fight, and how he almost. Well, I could say how he almost got him out of there. Mm-hmm. And he always stuck out to me ever since then. And, of course, the incident with Jeremy Stevens, he's about to fight him. And he pushed him, and I guess he said he got concussed from that. So, I don't know. Just these are things that stick out in my mind about him that, you know, I look out for certain fighters I recognize.
Sure. So I may or may not get to watch this live. Probably not. It depends on how my Gamecocks do against Missouri on Friday, because I plan on going to that game. And, you know, it's a weekend series. So if we could beat them Friday, then I probably won't go on Saturday and watch the fights. But if we lose on Friday, I might have to go back to the game on Saturday. We'll see. Even though Bears are ridiculous. I went to a college baseball game last weekend. The beer was like $12 for one beer. I'm like, man, what is going on?
Damn.
Like, you can't even get a buzz. Like, what's the point of even buying, like, alcohol at these events? You might as well just buy a regular drink because you're not going to get a buzz off of one drink. But the economy, that's a story for a different day. But let's get into the prelim side of things. At featherweight, we got John Silva versus William Gomez. At lightweight, we have Elvis Brenner versus Maitabek Orobai. At women's strawweight, we got a familiar face, Carolina Kowa Kawick versus Yasmin Lucindo. And then to top that one up, we have at featherweight, Jack Shore versus Johanderson Rito. Admire, will you go back and look at the regular prelims?
I'll probably go back. I want to see if Carolina is really back. She went on a 5-fight losing streak a while back, and now she's on a 4-fight winning streak. I want to see if she's brought it back all the way. She was always an exciting fighter. She had a lot of success early in her career, and then just kind of hit a skid, you know, ran into your Andrade's, Watterson's, and Grasso's of the world. And
yeah. You going to be watching the prelims, Steve?
Yeah, maybe so. Like, I was interested in Carolina, too, and I might be mixing up my fighters, but I swore she got cut, and I don't know. She must pop back up.
Yeah, I don't think she got cut.
She never did?
But she probably should have been cut. I mean, I feel like she was one of the original women that they were marketing in strawweight back when they first launched the division. And I think they were banked on her being good because I think they wanted to market on her looks. which I don't know. I mean, that's up for the listeners to decide whether that's a good or bad thing. And she just never panned out with actually translating in the octagon, and she could never get that signature win. So
I think that also, I think they were trying to market her to be the kryptonite of Joanna Jędrzejczyk at the time, I think, like her rival, if I'm not mistaken.
I mean, yeah, she's got a win. She had a win over Rose and got a title shot. So,
mm-hmm.
But she and couldn't get over always, that. Yeah, she couldn't get over that Joanna hump.
She used to always sit against the gate, you know. And I remember I first saw that. I'm like, oh, she's about to get beat up. She used to put her hands behind her against the gate when introducing her before the fight. Like, she was very timid, but she had a couple rough fights, but like I said, I'm interested in what she can do this weekend.
Yeah, like Amar was saying, 5 losses in a row, but now she's on a 4-fight win. I didn't even realize she was on a 4-fight winning streak.
But yeah, she's really under the radar now.
Man, maybe that's best for you to stay under the radar. You could sneak up on people. But yeah, I'll definitely, if I don't watch live, I'll go back in, watch those prelims. But fellas, let's get into this main card. So on the last show, I forgot to reel off what the records were after 300. So Admire is 17-11 after 300. Steve has some catching up to do. He's under 500. He's 13-15. And I have now caught up with Admire after 300. I am 18-10. So y'all have to catch up if you don't want me retaining this old belt over here. It'd be fun if somebody else won it. I'm giving y'all opportunity. I'm letting you hang in there, Admire. So it's up for you to keep up. Let's talk about the curtain jerker on this one. At middleweight, we have Paul Craig versus Kyle Bohio. Paul Craig is an interesting fella because he's been a mainstay at that middleweight division. I mean, he's got wins over Jamahal Hill, the former champion, and Shogun Hua. I mean, it was an old Shogun Hua, so take that for what it's worth. But, I mean, besides the Jamahal Hill, retroactively looking as a good win, he doesn't really have a lot of signature wins. He's got a loss against Johnny Walker, a loss against Brendan Allen recently. Basically a gatekeeper. So I'll start off with your prediction on this one, Amir.
Yeah, Paul Craig, he's lost, what, like 3 of his last 4 or something like that. I don't know how to pronounce the other guy's name. I think it's Chow, C-A-I-O.
From what I've researched, it's Kyle. I'm probably
talking
that up. Yeah, and then I heard of people pronounce his last name differently, so it is what it is.
Yeah, that guy hasn't lost a fight in like 10 years. Been in the UFC for, you know, a handful of fights. He's done well, so I'm taking him. I'm not taking Paul Craig. I'm taking Brahalo.
All right. Am I Kyle, Steve?
I'm going with Kyle, although Paul Craig can get you in trouble if he gets you to the ground. I don't think his expertise is getting people to the ground. Kyle, I don't know. He reminds me of a Paul Acosta for some reason.
Yeah.
And he goes in there, can choose to do a firefight too. So I like his style, so I'll go with Kyle.
Yeah. I want to say Kyle, he put on the glasses after a fight. He was like trying to be dressed up like a nerd. I might be mistaking him for somebody else. But from the fight that I saw him partake in last time, he looked good in there. Yeah, I'm not going to go against the grain on this one. I'm going to go with Kyle on this one. And I don't know. Like I said, I think Craig has pretty much hit his peak, and he might just be the perennial gatekeeper in this division. But let's talk about this next fight. A guy we saw a fight not too long ago. One of the more entertaining people inside the cage. At middleweight, we have Michelle Pereira versus Ihor Poteria. Admire, what are your thoughts?
Okay, so this is interesting to me. I love Michelle. Just exciting as shit. But the guy that he's fighting, this Ihor Poteria, I've never seen this before. His next fight is already scheduled. He has another fight next month.
I've never seen that before either.
Yeah, they have him set up at this one that we're talking about, UFC 301, and he's fighting one of the Magomedovs June 22nd on a UFC fight night.
That's probably to be determined, because if he gets fucked up in this fight, I'm sure that fight will be canceled.
Or is the UFC just like, this dude's going to win? Like, we already know he's going to win. Let's already get him another fight. I don't know. But I can't bet against Michelle. Michelle is, to me, one of the most exciting fighters out there. He doesn't always win, but I guarantee you have a good time watching him.
Interesting. And I'm looking at this guy. I mean, he's got some losses in the UFC. Poteria. I don't know. Before I make my pick, what do you think, Steve?
Yeah, I would go after Michelle, because I'm looking at his past fights, and he lost against Ulberg, which I recognize his face. He's a pretty good striker, and if he lost against him, he might get surprised easily from Pierre with his crazy, unpredictable attacks, jumping knees. And I think the odds are is for Michelle, just from seeing who he lost, is what I'm going off of.
So both of you have Michelle Pereira. Yeah, I mean, another one. I'm not going to go against the green. This is not like a technical pick. I'm not breaking down the X and O. I just think Pereira is just going to have the adrenaline from that home country crowd, and he's going to try to go crazy. And he's been sneakily on a 7-fight winning streak, so that's nothing to sneeze at. It's hard to get wins, but, you know, winning is contagious sometimes. So I'm going to go with Pereira as well to get the win. And I'm going to go off on a limb and say we'll finish him maybe second round, and I may come back and regret making that pick. He might get finished himself, knowing with a chef here, but should be exciting to watch. Let's talk about this next fight. In the light heavyweight division, a mainstay in this division, a former title contender, Anthony Smith, the Lionheart, going up against Vitor Petrino. Admire.
I think Anthony Smith is on the decline still. I think he's lost 3 of his last 4. He made it up there towards the top and just kind of rapidly coming down. Now, this Vitor, I don't particularly remember any of his fights, but researching him, I found that he's on like an 11-fight win streak, has 11 fights. 8 of them are finishes.
Yeah, so looks like he's carved out of granite too. I mean, but no muscles, no when you fight.
Yeah, so I mean, with all that, I got to take this Vitor. I'm going to roll with him. I'm expecting Anthony Smith to take the loss and probably maybe think about retiring.
Yeah, sometimes I'm all about retiring fighters when they just start to go on these crazy losing streaks, but maybe it's a little biased because Anthony Smith is my age, and if he retires, that means I'm looking at my own mortality too. He's literally a week younger than me. But before I get to my pick, what do you think, Steve?
Definitely. What's his name? Not Anthony. Vitor Petrino. I lost faith in Anthony Smith. I feel like he's at every opportunity to stay prestige after that John Jones fight, and he's just been on the decline. He's on the top of the top 10. And although all the fighters take pride, I feel like, to be in the top 15, I think there's another layer, which is the top 10, to where I think where he keeps his pride out, to where if he loses it, he's about to get kicked out of that. Because I know true fans, they know when you get top 10, they give you those fight night promotions. You get promoted more, and as soon as you get knocked out of top 10, you don't get those special fight night introductions or in documentaries. You kind of be on the back burner unless you're a special fighter. And like I said, I think he takes pride in that, and I think he'll be I don't want to be, but you know, stuck to desk duty.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he might have to just go off into the sunset and just be on that commentary team and that team that gets you hyped up for the fights, the pre-fight show or the post-fight show. But Admiral, I know you usually have the odds on you. What are the odds in this fight?
Let's take a look.
Because, yeah, I could see Smith being the favorite still for some reason.
Let's see.
I can see it being a pick'em too.
We got all the way down. We've got Anthony Smith is the underdog at +390.
Well, that pretty much seals my pick. I got Petrino on this. Even before I found those odds, I had Petrino just because on that crazy win streak that he's on. And yeah, I mean, Anthony Smith, I don't think he's completely shot, but he's not in that top echelon in the light heavyweight division, because I think that's where where you just see, if you were to just look at his record and see losses and not really dive deep into who he's fighting, and you'd be like, oh man, he's on the decline, like Admire was saying. But look who he's losing against: Glover Teixeira, former champion, Rakic, contender, Ankalaev, a monster and a contender, Johnny Walker, unpredictable fighter, Khalil Roundtree. I think he's gonna be getting a title shot soon, and then John Jones before that. The GOAT. So it's not like he's losing to bums. He just has been fighting high level of competition, because he's always like hovering around that top five, you know, contention line. But I think if he wants to continue fighting, if he were just to be a gatekeeper and fight people top 11 or lower, or even maybe unranked fighters, then he could fight for another 5 years easily if he wanted to. But he's a prideful guy, so I don't know if he wants to go that route. But with that being said, he's going against a Brazilian in Brazil, and that's a different animal. And like I said, this guy's been on a crazy ass streak, so I'm gonna take Petrino as well. So we all got Petrino. Nobody's gone the opposite direction yet. I mean, it seems like we've all been making the safe pick so far, but let's get into the co-main event. At bantamweight, we have Jonathan Martinez facing a Hall of Famer, former featherweight champion and legend in the sport, Jose Aldo. Admire, what are your thoughts on this one?
To me, this is an easy pick. I'm going with Jonathan Martinez on this one. Basically, what I have reasoning behind that is he's on quite a long win streak. Younger fighter. Jose Aldo kind of had his ups and downs for quite a while. You know, his last win, he did lose to Duff Shilly. He's had some losses in the past, Jan Moraes, Volkanovski, things like that. I just think I got to go with the younger, fresher fighter.
Okay. What are the odds on this one?
On this one, It's pretty much a pick 'em. Aldo is a plus 114. Martinez minus 135.
Wow. I did not expect it to be that close. Steve, what are your thoughts on this one?
That's a good observation. Martinez is the younger fighter, and you look at his record, he's no joke. And I think I remember his fights. You know, he's a grinder fighter who is not an easy fight for Aldo. But I think Aldo can pull this one off, use his veteranship, and have something up his sleeves because he does have good reaction time. Although that diminishes when you get older, who knows if it has yet. He was still pretty sharp when he left. He might still have it to still be up here, up to par with these younger guys. So I'll go with Aldo.
So you're saying he's going to be sneaky. So you think he sneaks and get the finish?
Yeah, I can imagine Martinez will use all of his repertoire, you know, try to do takedowns. And I can see Aldo trying to sneak up up the middle with a knee. It's just upsetting that Aldo doesn't use his leg kicks as much as he used to. He must have done something to his leg in a past fight to where he's like, probably took him 2 years to heal from a check kick, you know. So who knows?
Okay, so Steve has Aldo. So, like Abba was saying, Martinez is the fresher fighter. He's the young, hungry lion, so to speak. I mean, he's not that young, actually. Now that I think about it, he's 30. But still, he's younger than Aldo. Man, I'm still surprised that Aldo is able to get to bantamweight. I've been surprised ever since he made it the first time, and he's been making it for a while. Because everybody used to always talk about him going up to 155 when he was the 145 champion, how that weight cut was hard for him. But he was able to condition his body to be able to make the weight. But I haven't seen the violent fighter down at 135 like I did back at 145. I've seen him be more tactical, and you know, he has to conserve his energy more down there because of the weight cut. I don't know, man. I don't think the bright lights of being down in Brazil will affect Martinez, and I just see him getting the win as well and able to hush that crowd. I mean, because, you know, going down there, not all the Brazilian fighters are going to probably win, so it's going to be some moments at this card where you're going to get a hush the crowd moment, which is always funny and kind of awkward at the same time. Mm-hmm. But so me and Admire, we have Martinez, and Steve is going to pick the legend Aldo in that one. Fellas, let's talk about this main event. At flyweight, we have your champion, Alessandre Pantoja versus Steve Ursig. And Pantoja, I want to say this is his first fight since beating Brandon Moreno, isn't it, Admire?
No. He beat Moreno and got
big Bro Vile. He beat Bro Vile in that fight. That fight was not memorable. I forgot about that defense that he had against Roy Vile back in December. I don't know, man. I mean, this is definitely a card that they put a champion in, and they figured that it's going to sell tickets on the Brazilian. I don't know how much stock they put on Pantoja selling fights, but I think as far as like his hype and buzz, I think he needs to put on a memorable performance in this one. But what do you think about this one, Amir?
Yeah, like you just said, his last fight was not memorable at all. And I almost feel like this is punishment for that, because they're putting him in there against Steve Ursig. This is going to be Ursig's fourth fight in the UFC. He only has three fights so far. Ursig is ranked number 10.
He's that low. Huh.
Yeah. So I feel like the UFC is like, okay, Pantoja, like, you got the belt. Like, you need to put on exciting fights because that last one was a stinker. And, you know, maybe they throw him a lower-ranked guy, hoping that he could put on a spectacular dominant win in front of, you know, the Brazil crowd, something, because this fight doesn't make any sense to me as far as rankings go, or anything. You know, when's the last time you seen somebody get a title fight, their fourth fight in the UFC? You know, Steve Ersig, you know, sorry to shit on him, his three wins in the UFC were Matt Schnell, Alessandro Costa, and David Dvorak. Like, people you've never heard of.
Yeah, but if you did watch the Matt Schnell fight, it was pretty impressive. He slept him. Well, maybe the UFC was trying to throw him a bone, but I'm just trying to play devil's advocate a little bit.
Possibly. But, I mean, like, even if you look at the rankings-wise, him being ranked number 10, yeah, Tim Elliott, that's ranked at number 9, that's been a UFC staple for years and has done the UFC favors by stepping in late in, you know, facing people. I think there's a lot more people deserving than Ersig, but, you know, I don't know everything that goes on behind the scenes. But as far as picks, I mean, I'm going with Pantoja easily. Your odds on this one, Pantoja, they have as a minus 240 favorite, and Ersig at a plus 195 underdog.
Before I pass to Steve, though, but remember when TJ Dillashaw fought for the title, and I don't think he was ranked, and he shocked the world. What about like, when he beat
when he beat Garbrandt?
No, not when he beat Garbrandt. When he beat Hinnenbrow. Yeah.
I don't think he
was ranked. Oh, he might have been like barely ranked. I think he was like top 15, or I might be wrong. I might be having revisionist history, but and then Anderson Silva got a title shot on his second fight in the UFC, or his third fight, one of the two.
Yeah, but Anderson Silva also came from Pride, which UFC bought, and kind of had a history of being a top tier fighter, though. Like, I've never heard of Steve Ersig kicking ass on the local circuit.
Brock Lesnar got a title fight like in his second UFC fight.
Yeah, but these are all, I mean, they all had big names before the title fight. Ersig doesn't have a big name.
I'm thinking, because he just fought in March where he was still fresh and they just needed somebody to fill the card out. Because I'm looking and I don't see anybody like dropping out. I don't understand why they rushed this. I just think they wanted to have a title fight on the card.
Yeah, probably. Just, you know, if you take the title fight away, then this is definitely a fight night card. So for them to be able to sell it as a pay-per-view, they probably said, hey, we have to get a title on here somehow.
I mean, I guess that's what some of the lighter weight titles are for when you're in a pickle and need to put a title fight in there, but. Yeah, I don't know. Steve, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'll be quite honest, man. I don't recall a Steve Ersig fight at all. So that shows, I don't know what. Maybe this is a sacrificial, one of those sacrificial cards where they know one or two of these out of the year they have to, depending on who's hurt or if they know they can't fill everybody in this year after having a big 300 card, you know, this is a cool down one. So I feel like that's what this is.
With that being said, who you think is going to win this one?
Definitely Pantoja.
What do you see Pantoja's road to victory in this one?
Basically his dominance is always grinding with his overall style, grappling, takedowns, just a little bit of striking, mixing. I have to look at little Steve Ersig highlights to see what his base mostly is, but Pantoja.
So Admire and Steve have Pantoja in this one. That's crazy you said the odds were that close, Admire. He says Pantoja's only a minus 250 or something like that.
Yeah, Pantoja they have at minus 240.
Maybe Vegas knows something that we don't. So it sounds like Ursaeg is a live dog, but him being ranked number 10, oh, at the end of the day, top 10, you know, it varies in different divisions. Like, it's a bigger gap in some divisions than others. I feel like maybe the gap is closer in flyweight than it is other divisions. I mean, you're splitting hairs. I'm number 10 out of millions of fighters in the world, or millions of people in the world, and probably a thin margin between number 1 and number 10. And at the end of the day, it's what UFC wants to rank you. But you still got to put a little bit of stock into that. And I think Moreno is still one of the best in the division, and Pantoja just beat him. So I can't pick against that. I'm going to go with the champion in this one. But don't be surprised if Ursaeg makes it look ugly. And, you know, stranger things have happened, but I'm not going to bank on that happening. So all three of us have Pantoja in this one. Well, it's going to be an interesting weekend of fights. I mean, not a lot of name value on it, but with these Brazil cards, we know the crowd is pumped up, so we may have a lot to talk about next week when we recap this thing. But we've come to the end of the show, and like always, thanks everybody for listening out there. Make sure to follow us on all the social media platforms, Instagram, X, also YouTube, and all the other platforms. But that'll do it for us here at Haymaker Combat Sports. Until next time, be safe out there. Later.
Hit the takedown, ground and pound. I was from the top. Heel hooking, no more plot. I leave you in the nine. Pound for pound, been the greatest. Sitting on the top, and I'm laughing at the